Hello, gentlemen. Welcome to episode 601. I almost said 501. 601 of the Drunk Dashers podcast. I'm your host, as always. I'm Tyler. And joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What's up, buddy?
I'll tell you what. I've been so engrossed this past week, getting off of work and then like firing up a couple different types of games and stuff. For some reason, the start of this year, I have been more inclined now to really play like a lot of my various games that I'm getting going through and stuff. I think partially that has to do for me like not going onto YouTube a lot. Because I think I've literally been off of YouTube now almost close to about a month, give or take, because of the whole aspect. Like I basically, I mean, just use it maybe sporadically now because of watching certain content, watching certain things, but anyways, it's led to me playing a bit more game stuff. But other than that, though, man, I got a couple of games in the mail this past week. I've gotten in Spider-Man, Machin X, and also Jet Grind Radio for Dreamcast. I spent a good amount for each of these games. Not like necessarily crazy, crazy things. I'm not talking about like $80 to $100 worth of shit. Let's just say I'm fairly happy with the results. All the games play well. Nothing in terms of issues. No having to resurface the discs. And I'm quite happy with the eBay sellers and stuff that I bought from. But it's slowly but surely growing now. My overall goal is to at least have what I would like to play for the Dreamcast. I have, like, a set little box that I have right on top of my computer station here that has my Dreamcast games. It's kind of only so big to where I feel like it's literally, like, about this size, right, Tyler? And this is probably, like, about the right amount that I'm probably going to get, like, for Dreamcast games in general.
Yeah.
But I'm just keeping in large part in mind that for every Dreamcast game that I play and stuff for the last batch of things I order, it's like I gotta beat those first before I buy some more. Because fuck, I've already beaten like about 3 out of the 6 here so far, and I'm like literally halfway through like one of the games already, and nearing like the second. Actually, no, I'm nearing towards the end half of the game, but I'll get into that a little bit later, what we've been playing. Other than that, though, work's been crazy. You know, manning the fort, looking after the whole store and stuff, making sure nothing catches on fire or something like that. You know, it's just the life of a manager, pretty much. Yeah. But how have you been doing, Tyler?
You know, about the same, clanging and banging as always. Works, whatever. You know, it's been nice having a little bit of a work balance, work-life balance the last 3-4 weeks now, so that was nice. Been just playing a lot of games as well. My YouTube consumption is down because I'm playing a lot of games, but like it's still like probably my number one most used like app, I guess, on my television is YouTube. It's funny. I have like a lot of the streaming services and stuff.
And
I feel like the only one I actually get my money's worth out of is YouTube at this point. As far as like YouTube Premium and everything, but I've been playing a fuck ton of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth still, Gables. Yes. I have crossed the 50-hour mark.
What's funny is we were just talking about there being so many games that you're getting like a 50 to like 100 hours or something like that, and here you are, you're 50 hours into freaking Rebirth already.
Yeah. It's taken over like my whole entire life. Pretty much every free moment I have. Like normally, like I don't play a lot of games after work. During the weekends is when I play games. Like maybe like a little bit, I might dive into a game a little bit. But basically, every night after work, like every spare moment I have, it's been just Final Fantasy Rebirth. I was playing last night. We're just gonna get at what we've been playing. I'm on a roll here. I'm going to write down the time code here before I forget about it. Where are we at? I'm not used to doing it at this point of the show. Before we get into all that, though, please, if you guys like the show, like enjoy what we're doing, if you check us out all the time, please like, follow, subscribe, check us out everywhere podcasts are on. We're available everywhere, wherever service you're out there using for podcasts or on it, on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch. There's a link down below with all the links and services to those things. But please like, follow, subscribe, 5-star reviews, leave comments for the algorithm, give us a thumbs up, all that stuff on YouTube. YouTube's a big thing we're pushing, so it helps us out if you really we're getting closer and closer to that 500 subscriber mark. So that's the goal right now. Wow. When we hit 500, let's go to 1,000. Then we can actually start maybe make a little bit of money on this thing. But anyways, back to Rebirth Gables. Yes. I am 50 hours in. Like I said, it's taken over my entire life. At this point, I continue to adore and love this game. Love everywhere it's going. I'm starting to hit a bit of a. I don't know what the term is. It's because I'm not saying I don't want to say breaking point, because breaking point means I'm about to like stop playing the game, and I'm nowhere near that. But like that kind of that open world fatigue, I guess, is on this game. So like I went in like I'm gonna do everything in the open world. And there's not like it's not really a full open world like you would think of like Breath of the Wild or like an Assassin's Creed game. It's open areas, and each area though is fairly big. In I think I'm on the fourth open area now where like there's actually like a lot of side content to do. So let me back up a little bit here. So you get to a certain point, and I'm trying not to spoil too much for people that aren't playing, that are maybe are playing it or they're not playing it yet. You get to a certain point though where you get to like. I'll just say this part. It's in the trailers. Costa del Sol. It is like you go there. And it's like the beach area. It's an area that most importantly you can see Tifa in a swimsuit. That's the thing everybody else will remember it for. It kind of like screeches to a halt a little bit here. Where just get a lot of mini games. It's like there's a lot of mini games, Gables, and like maybe too many. And you have to play some of them you pretty much have to play all of them at least once for the story, to like progress. It's all about like, I'm enjoying like the characters. And, like the best part of this game is like, it's just friends going on an adventure. And like, that's the best part of this game is I'm going like all these characters that I love, you know, that we're always hanging out together. I love the interactions. I like the stuff that's happening because of these things, but I'm not really enjoying, I wasn't really enjoying what I'm doing so much. Like there's like, you're like almost like in like a, like one of the games is like when you go like the carnival and you have like one where you got like shoot like the moving targets and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one that's like, basically you play as Red 13 and you basically are like, it's a bad Rocket League game. And to get the top score, like, and you get the top score, you get like, you usually get like a really nice weapon or something like gear or something like that. And I was trying really hard to get like the number one on all of these, to get that really good weapon. You know, it's the little fucking thing, stupid thing in your brain. I want to get that thing. And it finally broke me on the, like, I got to get everything 100 maxed out in this game. Cause I was doing that for, like, I was getting my best score and everything before I progressed anything. The fucking Rocket League one broke me where you have to do it twice, Gables. The first time you have to like complete this one. Yeah, like there's four nets and there's four different like creatures on the field with you. Yeah. And you all have a score, and you have to like, if you tie for first, you get this. Like if you get solo first, you get the top score. But if you tie for first, or you tie like second or whatever, blah blah, you go from there. Gables, I was fucking winning. With 4 seconds left. Mm-hmm. Someone hits a goal. Goes in, now we're tied. I hit a ball into another net to go up by one, literally less than a second to go, but it bounced just enough, Gables, that I missed it by less than a second. Then we tied. So I got silver, and I was like, fuck this. I'm done. I'm not doing it again. It, like, this is not fun. And I hate this. I'm getting so frustrated with it. And then you can go back and do it again, but it's slightly different this time. Where there's like, they put like things in your way, and you gotta like hit, you gotta hit all the balls into the nets in a certain like certain order.
Yeah,
you have to do it in 3 minutes, Gables.
Oh wow!
I did it in 3 minutes, in 1 second. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm like, these two things have mentally like, they finally broke me. I did like the Pirate Cove thing is like the one where you gotta shoot the targets. I missed it by like a few hundred points, which is literally like hitting two more targets in the time frame. And I was just like, I fucking hate that. Like, why am I doing this to myself? Like, I love this game, and I'm like doing these stupid fucking, then you get the golden saucer, which is just like, Vegas of fucking the Final Fantasy VII world, where it's just all minigames, and you have to do all of them at least once. And I'm just going to say, none of them are like bad, but none of them are like especially fun either. But they're like, it's this weird thing where they're like, they're not so long that you don't want to play them again, but they're long enough that you don't want to play them again. Like, they're just like, they balance this thing of like, they're like 90 seconds to 3 minutes. And it's like, it's whatever, you know, you're like, okay, you know, you got three minutes, whatever, I can do it again. But then like, think about it, you do it 3-4 times. I just wasted 15 minutes on this fucking thing. And I just got to the point where like, I did all of these enough to like, I was like, a couple of them I enjoyed. I got enough to get gold on all these. But like some of these, I'm just like, I just got, but the bronze one, I'm like, I do not care. I just want to get through that. Like, this is the whole big section of this game. This is the date section. And it kind of killed it for me. Like, this is one of the most anticipated moments of this game. And it kind of fucking killed it for me because I was like, I hate these mini games. I hate, like, they're just, some of them are just like, I don't want to play these. They're not that, like, they're like, they're not awful. They're just not that fun either. And it's like, it just kind of grinds this whole game down where it's like, I liked some of the open world stuff, like some of the open world missions. I was enjoying doing those. I enjoyed like a couple of these things. Like, this game is goofy and fun. That's like the whole point of the game is like, we're just all like, you know, like it's just goofiness, all that bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it was just too much. Because it's like back to back. Like, you do the Coast of the Soul. There's like maybe like an hour of like maybe 2 hours of like story content. Boom, right back to Gold Saucer. You're there for a couple hours. And then you go out and then, hey, there's this whole open world section here. You do the open world section. That takes several hours. I finally did it, Gables. And I got to the next area. I'm like, cool. All right, going back to the main story here. Gables, there was another open area. And I audibly went, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I was like, this morning, I finally spent like 4 hours finishing up the open area in the last section. I'm like, cool. I drove like 3 minutes to the next section. I'm like, cool. All right, cool. We're going to start off the next like story. Kind of like it was like, because there was a nice pace there for a while of like open area, a few hours, 3-4 hours of like story stuff. You know, like you're just mainlining it. Next section. I'm like, I like that pace. That kind of breaks it up. Kind of keeps, you know, like I'm excited to go to the next thing.
Yeah.
And then it was like immediately, I'm like, I'm talking like 3 minutes, Gables. Get a cutscene and then boom, I just pan out and it's just this whole like fucking open area with icons. And it's worse. Because it's in a fucking jungle, and they make the fucking jungle. It's a maze. You have everything, like, it's just, they make every, like, it's purposely supposed to make it so, in, like, you're doing all the same things again, which I like.
Right.
I don't mind doing this. Like, kill these enemies. Gotta go get the tower, climb the tower, and make it so the more icons pop up. Like, I was enjoying those. I'm fine with those. But they make it so, like, you have to, like, go through, gotta go, like, oh, it's right there, but it's on a cliff now. You can't jump up that cliff. You got to go around and like find this hidden staircase, then go up, and then you can jump over to here. And it's just like, this is not fun. And they're not the only one that does this. Like, for some reason, all these open world games, when you get to like the later sections, it's like, hey, here's another area. I know it's just more of it. So what we're going to do is we're going to make it slightly more convenient for you than it was before. It's like, can I just like climb the goddamn tower and get the more icons? Can I just, like, I want to fight this special enemy and move on. I don't want to spend 4 fucking minutes, sometimes 10 minutes. Like, one section, I spent almost 10 minutes. Like, I could see it. It's right fucking there. But I just missed this little tiny staircase I had to go up that would take me around. I'm like, why do we do this? Why? Who thought that? And then, oh, my God, Gables, the fucking tower, one of the towers is, they make the tower a little more difficult. After you find the crazy little hidden staircase you had to go on, you get up there. Instead of just going up a ladder or going up some stairs, you have to climb a rope. And it's fucking slow as shit. And this tower is just taller now. So now you got to climb it. It's going to take longer because you're going up slowly up a fucking rope. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, climbing, I love you.
Slowly up a rope.
And then you got like, once you activate the tower, then they make it more difficult for you to then go down the tower. I'm like, why this isn't like, I'm not doing anything. Why do we do that? Like, this game's already long. why do we make it? Why do we need to add shit to just make it longer? I'm not doing it. Like, I'm not progressing. I'm just getting frustrated. Like, this is like, who thought this was fun? Like, I like the activities in the open world. I don't like the bullshit I have to do to get to the fucking activity. By the time I got to the activity, I'm like, I don't like doing this anymore. But I want to keep playing it because there's story content behind it. And like, I like the story content. I like the characters interacting with each other, but I got to do all this fucking bullshit to get there. And I don't like it. I'm very confused, Gables. I'm so confused. I love this game so goddamn much. And I'm like, the last like six, I played for like 7 hours today. And I don't even I feel like I just wasted a large chunk of my day playing this game and progressed very little because it's just dumb shit. I'm almost done with this area. And Gables, I don't know what I'm going to do if there's another area, another open world area. Because, like, how are they going to make it harder? Like, what are they going to do? They're going to put it in space? And you got to, every single time you got to build, like, you got to build a rocket ship. Like, oh, now it's a survival sim. You have to build a rocket ship to get up there, to get there. But once you get up there, once you actually build it and you build this thing that we never put anyone on in the moon before, but now you got to build a ship. There's a fucking tower on the moon now. Now you gotta make the ship. Then you gotta get up there. But once you get up there, you have to then actually find another cliff to go up. What are we gonna do? Do I have to make faster than light technology now? Is that the next fucking world?
Faster than light padding sounds more like it.
Yeah. That would be great because it would fucking speed this fucking game up. I love this game so much. But I'm just getting so mad right now. I'm in a weird spot. Like, if you would have came up to me yesterday, I would have been like, I'm still loving this game. I'm loving the story. I'm loving where it's going. I'm loving all the interactions. And today, I'm just in like, I'm just in a mood today where I'm like, I just wasted a large chunk of my day doing essentially nothing. Like, I got nowhere. I haven't gone up. I haven't progressed a chapter. I think I've done like maybe an hour and a half of story content. And people listening, and Gabe will probably listen to me, is like, you fucking idiot. You don't have to do it. You can, like, literally the next icon's 100, like, for the next story beat is right there 100 feet away. But Gables, my ADHD and my potential autism will not allow me to do this, okay? So I have to do it. I've already, like, decided on it. I've got to get it done. And I've got, like, five more things to do. Is it going to take me an hour to do these? Because even though I can see them all, I got to find the stupid goddamn fucking staircase to get up there and then climb the world's slowest fucking rope. That I don't know why there's so many fucking ropes in this goddamn jungle. I know it's a jungle. There's wood everywhere and there's ropes everywhere. But why the fuck is it so goddamn slow to then go up it? Anyways, Rebirth, 10 out of 10. I love it. I'm gonna keep playing it. I just seen people like saying like, oh man, I'm like 80 hours in. I haven't even done everything. I'm just like, I'm on chapter nine. I think literally once I get to the next story mission, like that will start chapter 10. So I'm basically done with chapter 9. Mm-hmm. About to start chapter 10. I looked it up. There are 14 chapters. And I'm like, what are the next 30 hours looking like for me? Because like people are spending 80 hours not getting anything done. And I'm 50 hours in. And I like, what's the next 30 hours looking like here for me? Hopefully it's more story content. Because I don't think my...
I mean... Granted, you know, people love to play the games the way they like and stuff like that, but at the same time, just sounds like to me, is like, maybe you shouldn't play it as a completionist.
Gables, did you not hear the part mileage about my undiagnosed potential autism and ADHD? My brain will, like, I literally was sitting there today, like, I stopped playing for like 40 minutes, and I'm just like, it was like, I was just trying to watch TV. And I was like, my brain was like, would not shut it off. I'm like, you just need to go and get it done. And then I played for like 3 more hours today, and I'm not done yet. So, it was hard for me to just stop playing to do this podcast because it's like, you know, they like in a relationship, don't go to bed angry. I can't go to bed with unfinished side quests. Like, that's where I'm at right now. That's my brain. So I really should go see a doctor.
Now you understand why people have such a hard time completing Final Fantasy games.
It's great. Remake is nothing like this.
I know.
I beat that game. I did all the story missions, and it took me less than 40 hours.
Well,
I'm 50 hours in, and I got another third of a game to go.
Well, at least you're not like what some players had to do back in the day when they were trying to get this one weapon for Final Fantasy X, where they had to dodge like a fucking lightning bolt for about 1,000 steps.
I mean, that's probably the next open area.
Yeah, literally. I think it was like, I'm not too sure where the area was exactly, Tyler, but it was like in Final Fantasy X, you had to In order to get this one ultimate weapon for one of your party members, you had to dodge a lightning bolt like 1,000 times. So you had to wait for the thing to prompt up so you could press the X button, and you weren't sure what the fuck the timing was going to be. And it's like, okay, well, we're going to try this, and like all of a sudden you get hit like within 10 like 10 dodges into it or some shit. Now that
It's like the original Dark Souls here. All right. Well, Gables, we need to move on here to some something else here.
Okay.
I guess there's no really easy way to transition into this here. Unfortunately, Akira Toriyama, I'm saying that right correctly.
Yes, you are.
All right, cool. I always get nervous with Japanese names. I always do badly. Japanese names, Pokemon. Can't do it. He passed away. Unfortunately, kind of surprisingly, out of nowhere, 68 years old. Apparently, he had I believe it was bleeding in the brain.
Yeah, like an acute,
I can't.
it's a specific type of hematoma. I
Yeah,
forgot the
hematoma.
actual,
Yeah,
I forgot,
acute.
but it was pooling of blood in the back of his head, like
Yeah.
back of his brain.
Yeah. So sadly, he passed away. He was the, creator of Dragon Ball, Dragon Quest. I totally forgot this. Blue Dragon. He made that original. Remember that early Xbox 360 exclusive game that came out?
The Xbox 360 exclusive game, Blue Dragon. Yeah, he was the artist for the character models and stuff for that game, as well as Dragon Warriors, Dragon Quest series and stuff, plus a couple of other stuff. But Akira Toriyama, this dude is one of the main reasons why a lot of people, like around my age group, got into watching anime to begin with, because of the success of Dragon Ball Z. That cultural phenomenon that hit like towards the late 90s, back when like I can remember clear days or something like that in the summer, where I just turn it on like around 4, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There was Dragon Ball Z on, like I could watch it on Cartoon Network and all the action, all the other stuff, but yeah, Akira Toriyama, he was responsible for doing a lot of one-off manga strips and stuff way back when, but he's predominantly known for his creations of Dr. Slump and Dragon Ball. Dr. Slump was like his first major hit really for manga, where it lasted for around a couple of years that I can understand, but it was like a comedy theme manga around this sort of android little girl and stuff called Aureli. It's really funny in terms of what they go and delve into, because it's kind of like that kind of obscure humor. But for those that are kind of interested in kind of seeing Akira Toriyama's work, I mean, definitely give a shot of maybe reading some bit of Dr. Slump. Also got into an anime as well. I'm not too sure for how long that lasted though. But Akira Toriyama, man, he's one of those guys to where is really influential in terms of not just for a lot of anime fans over the years and stuff, but definitely a lot of artists, a lot of game designers as well, taking inspiration from his work. I mean, even in the realm of Japanese animation and stuff, guys like Oda, the guy that's really predominant in terms of creating One Piece and Tite Kubo for Bleach and all these major action anime and other action anime in general, Akira Toriyama was very much a big influence to that generation, plus going forward. But what's also interesting to note, it's like Sandland that's going to be coming out this year. That was actually one of his one-off manga and stuff. That was actually one of the last initial, I think, manga or something that he had where he was prompted to actually do, say, manga work, because, believe it or not, through the entirety of his manga, profession of being, a mangaka and stuff, he used the same pen, the same type of, drawing pen, this whole, specific type of drawing pen that he had for literally, 20, 20 some odd years. He drew Dr. Slump, he drew Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, all the entirety of that stuff, but with what's interesting enough is when he got to work on say Sandland and stuff in order to draw that, he actually lost the pen. And the thing is, he could not get used to other forms of pen, because at that point, he was so used to just using this one particular pen. So that was part of the reason why he for a long time decided he didn't want to draw any more manga at certain points. But let's see. Tyler and I were kind of talking beforehand that yeah, there were definitely a bunch of unfinished projects that Akira Toriyama was currently doing. I mean, obviously that new Dragon Quest game that is supposed to be like hopefully get some more information of in like the future, that mainline Dragon Quest game. I mean, some of his artwork obviously was going to be akin to that. But yeah, in the realm of video games, Akira Toriyama was very influential as well. I mean, he had works not only just in the Dragon Quest series, like in terms of character models, but for Blue Dragon, like you mentioned, the biggest one that sticks out to me is Chrono Trigger.
Oh,
Chrono
yeah. Missed that one.
Trigger, his artwork and stuff, man, that's iconic stuff. Like, people who have played Chrono Trigger or have seen the artwork of it think of Akira Toriyama. They think of, like, the artist behind a lot of those works and stuff. But yeah, seeing a lot of his animation stuff, even to like the modern things, like for say Dragon Ball Fighters and how fluid all that shit and stuff went in the motion. You know, just it's really weird because I was literally having like a discussion with a friend just the other night and stuff, to where it's like we both had the same feeling, just like I don't know how to process this. I
Yeah.
mean, I because this is somebody that's been inside of the minds of like anime fans, like just fans of like cartoons and stuff, like for over 20 or 30 years now. And it's like we couldn't really fully process it because it just didn't feel real. You know, it's one of those main things to where when I was even going on to other people's Twitch streams and stuff, they were telling and trying to inform like the people that were like streaming and stuff, hey, Akira Toriyama died, this and that. You know, it's like
Yeah.
it was just like a literal like 1-2 thing. Like each stream I was going to, you would see some reference or something of like the chat like informing people, oh hey, he died and stuff, or RIP or this or that. Just how much respect this guy really did earn, like throughout all of his years, all of his work on stuff. And man, it's just really sad to see that like he passed like at a pretty much like an early type of age, you know, like not even he in his late 60s, quintessentially. But it just leaves a lot of question, especially when it comes to say Dragon Ball. But before he did pass though, he does have someone that he has pretty much pass the torch on to in terms of like certain aspects of the Dragon Ball franchise. And this is this artist by the name of Toyo Taro, who knows exactly like some bit of stuff that Toriyama generally does for like storyboard stuff and also for creation of the series and this and that. So there's definitely some bit of potential that people have to look forward to and stuff. Currently, there is a Dragon Ball manga that's still going into production, stuff that is actually drawn and storyboard things by Toyo Taro himself. But there's just a lot of things that are up in the air, not just for what series he was potentially going through and bringing back or so, but also in terms of the realms of video games, because this affects Dragon Quest for Square Enix. This definitely affects the new upcoming Dragon Ball game, like the new Tenkaichi game that's supposed to be coming by the end of this year. But ultimately, though, even, you know, just barring all these like animation stuff, all this video game stuff, is like we lost literally the equivalent of American comics losing Jack Kirby. You know, Jack Kirby, a predominant like cartoonist, like a predominant like comic book like illustrator and stuff, responsible for like guys like say the X-Men and like this, that's drawing all these famous superheroes and stuff. Yeah, just losing someone of that significance inside of like that space, you know, it just puts into perspective of like it would be kind of like similar in terms of the anime film if say like Hayao Miyazaki were to have like passed away or something like that, or yeah, it's just a
Yeah.
big deal in general for a lot of people.
Miyamoto,
But
stuff like that,
exactly, Tyler.
yeah.
Let's put this into perspective. The way some people feel about Toriyama passing would be probably a close to akin to what would happen if, say, like, say, Miyamoto were to pass away, maybe even in a greater effect because of how influential he's been.
Yeah.
But it really gives me the feelings the same thing of when Satoru Iwata passed on
Exactly
and
what I was gonna
stuff
say
with
next.
Nintendo,
Yeah.
because that was just initial like shock and like disbelief and just overall kind of just sadness in general, dude, because it's like you see a lot of these different factors. You hear about the different stories of what he did throughout his life and stuff, and like how he cut his own salary and stuff in order to make sure that none of his workers or something like that suffer the repercussions because of like mistakes that he made or so as a leader and stuff. I mean, that's fairly respectable, but at the same time, that's the closest thing I could really feel of like a substantial loss from like in that sort of scale. But above all else, though, just rest in peace, Toriyama. Hopefully, you're just having enjoying your afterlife and stuff and peace.
Rest in peace, man. That's it's awful. Like I'm not like, like I've never won. I was never a big Dragon Ball fan, but fuck yeah, man. I played a fuck ton of Dragon Ball Fighters. For some reason, that game hooked me, and
Yeah, dude. And you were just watching all of his illustrated stuff into effect right
yeah.
there.
And then like I mean just like getting that one season of Fortnite where they put like all of his characters and like they built the whole Fortnite season around him. Hope they bring that up. That'd be really cool in honor of him. They brought a lot of stuff back in Fortnite. I mean obviously I know they
I
can't.
would love that.
Yeah, I
I
know
would
they
love to
can't.
see that.
Yeah, it'd be great. Like I know they can't like probably can't make it happen overnight, but like I don't know. It'd be cool if like they at least brought back like the Kamehameha on maybe with some of like the town stuff they built in that game. That'd be
What I'm
really
kind of
cool.
wondering now is like when Sandland does eventually come out and stuff, is that going to be a coveted game now because of how
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it's
just
gonna be,
because.
yeah, it's gonna be a lot bigger, I'm sure. A lot more people are gonna be really excited for it. I mean,
Yeah, think about it. That's the last initial probably credited game that Akira Toriyama and stuff led to, like the character designs.
yeah, we obviously we don't know how much work gonna be out there afterwards. Like what we like we found out just based the voice of Batman that passed away.
Conroy, Kevin
Yeah.
Conroy.
Yeah, like we thought Suicide Squad was gonna be his last thing, but then we found out recently, actually there's a couple more things he had just finished before he passed, that
Thank
are
God.
coming out. A couple of anime, yeah, right. Yeah. What an awful way to go out. But yeah, so I mean hopefully over the next couple of years, like there's a few more pleasant surprises coming out for him and they're good quality stuff. So and maybe they'll be able to like they said he has a lot of stuff that wasn't finished. Maybe they can kind of wrangle some of that stuff together and get it out there. So it'd be pretty cool. But yeah, anyways, rest in peace. Hopefully he's a lot happier now. But let's get on to something else here. Once again, no easy way to segue out of that. But Gables, we had an Xbox partner preview on Wednesday. We had a little bit of stuff, but we didn't know a whole hell of a lot going into it. But kind of started off here. Actually, before we get into it, Gables. Overall thoughts on this Xbox partner preview?
I thought it was all right. I mean, granted, there were a couple things that I was interested in seeing a bit more of. I mean, the beginning game that they did show initially.
Unknown 9.
Yeah, Unknown 9, that definitely has some bit of interest, like intrigue and stuff. Obviously, the Persona like DLC for Persona 3 Reload and stuff. That initial thing that's going to be coming out like towards the end of the year. But other than that, Tyler, there was just a lot of things shown, and there really wasn't a lot of things I retained from it because they weren't as memorable as like I thought it was going to be. But other than that, though, I mean, let's just go in and delve into the games that were listed in this event.
I think I'm pretty much with you. I did a live react to it and I was just not liking it. Did not enjoy it. Like, and it's kind of like, I always talk about like the Nintendo, like Nindies or like the Nintendo partner, directs they do and stuff where it's like, it's like sometimes you go into those and it's just like, I did not care about that at all. But usually like when you get some of the bigger ones, there's like some huge like news out of it. That's like big newsworthy stuff come out of this one. And there wasn't really a lot here for this one. A couple of things like that are a little bit bigger, but this nothing hit for me at all on this. I was just like, okay, cool. Like, and I don't need like I was like my whole point like even during the live react was like I don't need these huge like AAA games to be here to make it worthy of anything. But like we had that Nintendo Partner Direct just a few weeks ago, and it's like there was like four things out there that I was like super excited to play. None of them on Nintendo. I was gonna buy them all elsewhere, but like there's like four things that came out that like, oh, this was a really good. I really enjoyed this. And then there's other people that watched it, and I was like, eh, whatever. And that's just kind of how it is sometimes. And like I've seen a lot more people that were like really high on this because there's a lot of stuff in there they're excited for. There's one I'm gonna nitpick the hell out of though, because it's my pet peeve in gaming and these gaming events that people get excited for. And I'm like, why? But we'll get into that here in a minute. But yeah, let's just jump into it here. Unknown 9 Awakening. This is what kicked it off. I believe this was a reveal. I don't remember seeing this before. This is a Bandai Namco is publishing this from, I believe it's Reflector is making it. That's coming this summer. It looked a lot like almost like a Assassin's Creed style game. But you can kind of slow down in the battle, the battling looks a lot like action stuff looks a little faster and a little better, I think. But, I looked at this and I was like, man, this just looks like a, Assassin's Creed Odyssey style game. So I don't know. Didn't really hit it for me. What about you, Gables?
Yeah, it didn't really do too much to me, but it definitely had that sort of Assassin's Creed look and feel to it, to the extent where there were just some subtle differences that it makes it kind of distinguished, maybe less thereof to Assassin's Creed, but who are they kidding? This thing really borrows heavily from that formula.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we'll have to see what more, like, is a big open world, but yeah, we got a 90-second trailer here, but yeah, didn't do a whole lot. Like, I don't think it looked bad. It's just like, oh, okay, this looks fine. It's like, for me, it's like when I look at indie games, I usually want something different that we don't have in the AAA space. It's like, I really don't want like an indie version of a AAA game, you know?
Yeah.
Unless they have like a really cool, unique twist on it, then I'm in for that. But this didn't really seem to have any of that. This next one, this is the thing that really bothered me. Not bothered, but just it's a pet peeve of mine. I've literally since like episode 1 of this fucking podcast. Almost 11 years ago. Sleight of Hand was revealed here. This is coming from Riff Raff Games. This was a complete CGI trailer. You're a detective that does like witchcraft, like your Lady Luck. And she uses like, you know, she uses like card tricks, and like you're being chased by like a witch or something. This is coming to PC and Xbox. I don't believe there was any time window for like a date. Like our date or a window or anything for a release. But pet peeve, Gables, and you know it. I've done it a million times. People were like, oh, this looks great. This is my game of the show. I can't wait to play this. This game looks awesome. This is going to be a great game. Bitch, there's no fucking... What is this game? Nobody knows what it is. I heard one person that, like, finally, like, one thing I was watching, someone asked, like, oh, what'd you like about it? And I was just like, they kind of stammered through an answer. And I'm like, you don't know what it is. Cool, the CGI trailer looked cool, but we don't really know much about, like, there's no pedigree here from this IP. There's no pedigree here from this developer.
True.
What are we excited about? Like, this game could be great. I'm not even shitting on Sleight of Hand. It's just my pet peeve when these to come out. Like, when you freak out about, Arkane Studios is making a Blade game. I get that. These are two things with pedigree, and those two things together just make fucking sense. It's peanut butter and jelly. Oh my god, a Blade game being made by Arkane, that makes sense. We got a CGI trailer for it. I'm excited for it because I pretty much already know essentially what those things are going to be. Probably going to be pretty fucking great. What the fuck is Sleight of Hand? I don't know what it is. Like, what do we do this? Like, I don't know. I get like why they want to do it. Like, Riff Raff Games wants, like, hey, this brand new game of ours. We don't have any gameplay yet, but hey, we have this major platform with Xbox that we're doing. I get why they do it. It drives me nuts. Gables, go ahead.
Well, after seeing that trailer, I will say this. I didn't really take too much from it. I basically, if not for the fact that I've watched this initial showcase, and then you've had to say what exactly the thing is, I still can't remember the fuck what this game is, dude. There's really nothing to say. I don't have anything really substantial to say about it because all we saw was a CGI trailer. There really wasn't anything substantial to see in gameplay because there wasn't any shown.
This is what we got here. Twisting from Eurogamer. Twisting together a hard-boiled detective novel and witchcraft. Here you'll have to use stealth and magic to uncover why you were framed by your old coven. That's what we have. That sounds... I'm interested by the premise.
Why couldn't they show that in the trailer?
Why can't we get... Yeah, I don't know. Like, and like I said, I'm not shitting on Sleight of Hand. It's just... It's my pet peeve of people, like, freaking out about shit that we don't even know what it is.
This wasn't properly marketed.
Yeah. But like I said, I get why they do it because, hey, we're in this big thing. And next time you see it, you'll get excited about gameplay for it. I get it. But
right.
It's my problem is the people, Gibbles. It's the people. The people that fuck everything up. All of them. We even got the WB is the next news story, so we haven't got to those people yet. anyways, the Altars is another game that was revealed here. This is like a you're like in like on like a planet, you're on an alien planet, and you have it's like almost like I thought it was like a roguelike sim game, but it's a kind of that, I guess. But like you basically have to build this habitat for you can live in, but you can actually like clone yourself and like I don't know if like you can change it to like, hey, this person's a botanist or this person can do this. Sorry, there's an ad on here that's playing of a game. I don't know what the game is, and this guy is zoomed right into an animal's butthole.
Tyler, get off of those damn sites, dude. We're recording.
It's on Eurogamer Gables, I swear. I was like trying to talk, and I was just like, where is he going with this? And he just like he had a gun in his hand, there's a creature, and he just like zoomed right in with a shotgun right to the guy's right to the animal's butthole.
Oh my god, dude. I mean, for God's sakes, what is Eurogamer becoming here if no, they're it's like an, freaking it's having just, that type
it's
of
an
commercial?
Ad for a game, and it just that was like it was a Twitch streamer playing it in the ad. Which yeah, anyways.
God.
Yeah, so anyways. it's a nightingale. It was a nightingale trailer. Anyways, The Altars. It is.
That sounds much more interesting than what we're describing right now for Altars.
I don't know, it just broke me. I'm sorry. It's one in the. It's almost midnight here, guys. Leave me alone. Anyways, Altars. You're a person that's on a alien planet, and you can clone yourself, and then those other people have, like. Things that they're like really good at, like botanists, yes. Stuff like that. But also, they have like they could potentially have different paths. I don't know if you can. Like, thing is, maybe they explained it and I missed it. But like you, like they have like some of them like you're divorced, but they stayed married to this woman, or maybe they have kids. And then like mm-hmm. It's kind of like I like the premise and the idea of this whole thing of like, hey, like, yeah, you know, like one guy was like mad at them for like you know being divorced from the woman because they're all married to the same person, but from their realities, I guess.
Yeah.
Gibbs, I got one question about this game.
Yeah?
They're fucking, right?
You would have to assume that they are.
I mean, I know it's your clone, but I mean, come on. No one's, like, I'm the one person in the world that's brave enough to ask the question. They fucking?
I'm sure more than one person have probably thought about that, but if it's a clone
but
of themselves.
But has anybody asked the question? Has they thought about?
No, ask the question. Probably not.
Yeah, see, you know, I'm a brave man out there. I don't know. Immediately, that's what I was thinking. Like, these guys are fucking right. Anyways, is that incest? It's yourself?
Okay, I don't know if that's gonna be going that far, so dude. But still, right
I'm gonna go ask a question somewhere. I'm gonna find someone.
We're thinking the major philosophy, like philosophy type of freaking questions here. It's like, if you clone yourself, would that be incest in yourself? Yeah.
These are important questions. Honestly, this is more intriguing to me than this game.
Yeah, we're a gaming podcast, folks.
But hey, sometimes, you know, midnight, I said to watch a trailer where a guy zoomed into an animal's butthole. Okay? This is where I'm at right now. Okay? But anyways.
Right in the butthole.
Yeah, to me, honestly, like, looking at this is like one of the more intriguing games that came out of it from like what we did see. But I don't know, like, this isn't a thing that I'm can enjoy, but I definitely see there is definitely an audience for this style of game.
Yes,
it is coming to Game Pass. I don't remember if they. I thought they said later this year, but I've not seen a date here anywhere. So, but I don't know. I don't think I'm going to play this one. What about you, Gibbles?
More likely not. Unfortunately, I mean, there's everything else that's going on all at once, so I'm probably not going to get to that in quite a long time.
Yeah, I could see myself dabbling maybe if like if it was like it came out in a dead period, but especially on Game Pass, but a game I'm actually kind of interested in here, Creatures of Ava, I believe is how you pronounce that. This is like an action-adventure creature saving game is what they're describing it as. Where you play as like a woman like that, like basically she's going around and like finding these creatures and saving them and then like using them to like progress through this world. Like I love the art style of it. It's you know, almost like, When I saw this, I did the live react immediately when I said this looks like the, I don't know if people remember the Rare game that they revealed like 4 years ago called Everwild that we've just seen nothing from, but it looked very much like a, like what Everwild was gonna be. I don't know what the, like another game got it rebooted a while back, but I don't know, like it's I guess it's from a Spanish studio, like a studio based out of Spain, so I don't know, but I thought it looked kind of cool. Like you get to like pet the animals. They can give, like one point they showed like a pig or something like that, and then rolled it over its back. You have to give it belly rubs. I'm like, I'm in on that premise alone. It's coming to Game Pass. I'm down. It's coming later this year. It's like a, like, I don't know if there's like a lot of combat in this, but going around saving some creatures, pick up the pets and creatures, and then maybe solve some puzzles along the way. Gable, this looks like my kind of game.
Looks like a chill game.
Yeah,
absolutely. It looks like a chill game, and I think, gosh, I've been like watching little things here and there on Twitch and stuff. I think one of the more accurate descriptions of it, I think, is like it's kind of like Pokemon, but like you're not really have to force to do like a lot of battling. You're just saving a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Okay, makes sense. Yeah, I'm down for this. This is probably actually the one game I'm looking forward to the most. So, next up, Gables. I was watching this. So I'm like, this looks like a bad Roblox game. Well, it's actually a Roblox game. It's Chuck E's in Roblox. So I thought it was like a knockoff Roblox game. I'm like, oh no, it actually is just Roblox. But yeah, Chuck E's in the game. This is a kid's game.
This is a kid's game. And yet here we have like a freaking horror movie, like a D horror movie, like freaking license or something, like Chuck E being involved inside of this kid's game.
Is that TV show still going? I got like a second season. I don't know if it went past that.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I'm really not too sure.
I know I have the Google right in front of me here, but I'm not going to look it up. I'm just going to let live on. Yeah, but it's like, it's. I thought like almost kind of doing like a Dead by Daylight thing, but with Chucky. So I don't know. I just thought, like, it was weird though. It was like in the trailer, they said it's like, this is alpha footage of the game's out today, but it's out today. So,
okay.
Yeah. But it's, I guess it's Roblox, so who gives a shit, but, yeah, I don't know. I have nothing else to add to that one. I'm ashamed that I even know what Roblox is. So,
well, yeah, it's a weird thing to add to like Roblox and stuff, right? I mean, I can understand like joint licensing properties and stuff wanting to get in on like big games and stuff, like they do with Fortnite and then other stuff. But in the world of Roblox, seeing a license like Chucky, just that collaboration just seems so weird to me. Because
yeah,
a lot of the Roblox like players and stuff are kids.
Essentially, it's a kid's game, yeah.
But, I mean, it made sense for Dead by Daylight, because Dead by Daylight, you pretty much have, like, all these killers and survivors and stuff like that. It's supposed to be, like, a morbid sort of, like, 4v1 experience, right? Mm. But there are horror movie icons inside of that game, other than, like, say, Jason Voorhees, because of licensing stuff. But, for Roblox, it just seems really weird and out of place, you know? I actually was audibly laughing because I'm like, what the hell is this?
It just looks awful. But I mean, it does. It's a kid's game. It goes on mobile, whatever. I don't know.
There's been some weird updates from that game.
Yeah. Next up here, we got a reveal for Sinking City 2. This is a game actually came out, it was an indie game. Or not any game, but it was like a double A game that came out. It looked kind of cool, and I remember it came out a little rough, but I heard they patched it over time. And they've had some, like, I believe the studio that was making this, like, they, like, something happened with the publisher, and they are basically making this on their own now. But I don't know, like, I want to check it out. It's just one of those things. I've heard it's like a Swimming in Seven style game, but it looked kind of cool, and we're getting a new one that's coming out next year. I'm actually... I don't want to say like excited for this one, but like definitely want to, you know, if we get it some time here this year, I'll, you know, I could probably find Sinking City on the cheap and I'll probably check it out. And then, you know, if I like that, I might go into this one. But they did make sure to say that this is a standalone game. You do not have to play the first one to play this one. But I don't know. At the very least, I'm going to be paying attention to this game here on out, because I've heard enough people that like the same things as I do say good things about the first one, and I want to check it out. So. Anything on that one, Gibbles?
No, not really, fortunately.
Okay. Next up here, Final Fantasy XIV. We got a full release on March 21st. There are some like starter edition perks, stuff like that. One thing I heard people say though is that, so you can, Game Pass Ultimate, you can get like a 30-day thing between March 21st and the April 19th. But there is like a game trial thing, like a lot of what are these games called? MMOs. They have like the monthly, you have to pay the monthly membership. There is like a trial mode you can play through, like get to a certain point before you guys start paying for it. And a couple people I heard say that do not get this, do not start this right away, because basically like you get like 1 month free. Play through the free section and then trigger this, because it's basically just like once you like activate it, that's when the 30-day trial, like the 30-day trial starts. So you can wait till April 9th, all the way up to the April 19th. You can play the game and then activate it to get the free 30 days. So,
there you go.
Just want to make sure, you know, people are listening that didn't know that. So, but this is not a thing that I think either one of us is going to be checking out.
Well, that's just the thing, dude. I mean, MMOs really aren't our style per se and stuff, but, I'm more happy for the people that want to play it on Xbox systems and stuff have a chance to. But, Final Fantasy XIV, I've heard nothing but good things about. Especially in the terms of the big old stories, the expansions, everything else. But I have no interest currently in wanting to play it.
No. God, no.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, I like the game, that honestly, because then I'd lose myself to it. So, for me. So, it's better I just avoid. Then one here leaked Stalker Legends of the Zone trilogy. This kind of leaked a couple days beforehand. It's basically contains Shadow of Chernobyl, Clear Sky, and Call of Pripyat. It's a Russian word. I don't know what that is, but it's all out now. It's on Xbox and PlayStation. Kind of perfect. These games have been, I believe, all like pretty much trapped on on PC. And they're out. I don't know. I haven't heard anybody saying about them, because I heard like a lot of people, like if you played
they're
them on
pretty
PC,
obscure.
Yeah. Well, and like if you played them, like they're kind of rough. So there's like a bunch of mods people like recommend you download before you play the main game. So I'm curious if they made the game run and work a lot better. So, but I mean,
you would have to think.
Yeah. But I've been really excited for Stalker 2 for I think like since they like revealed it in like 2020. So I've been really excited to play that. Hopefully it comes out. I don't know. I don't know if I'm, like, if it was coming, like, if it's not on Game Pass, I'd dabble. But I've heard these games are pretty long, so I don't know if I will. So.
I mean, granted, I'm kind of interested in seeing what these games are all about and stuff, because Stalker 2 coming out later on this year. Plus, I've heard the Stalker series was like a pretty obscure, like, PC game series and stuff for a long while, especially back towards like the 90s. I mean, there were a couple things PC related I was hearing like all the way back then and stuff when I first started paying attention to a lot of the stuff around the gaming industry. And that was PC games like Stalker, like Half-Life, like friggin' World of Warcraft, like friggin'... Oh, gosh. Oh, my God. What was it? Not Bioshock, but like just Bio...
Oh, God. System Shock.
System Shock is what I was thinking of, too. There's a whole bunch of that hodgepodge, plus the Sims and stuff, I was hearing a whole bunch of in terms of PC content. And I remember, like, at least some references to the Stalker series and how people did like it.
Yeah.
But as far as anything experience that I've gone through, like, no, I've never really played any of the Stalker games.
Yeah. And I'm a huge fan of the first two Metro games, and this looks like almost like early Metro games, which, you know, I know the Metro games are kind of based off of Stalker, so they kind of use that as their inspiration. So, I don't know. I guess I didn't look at the price. If they're cheap, maybe I'll check them out. Next up here, Monster Jam Showdown. Just kind of felt out of place in a weird way in this whole event. It looks fine. It's like, you know, it's like a Monster. You can do like the show. Like you can do like tricks. There's racing. The only thing that's interesting to me about this, it's coming later this year. The Hot Wheels Unleashed people made this game. So, yeah. So other than that, I got nothing.
I don't really have anything for this game. I hope it's a fun little like what, 5 maybe 6 hour game or something at most, maybe.
Yeah. Next up here, Gables, and this thing that you might be looking forward to here, Persona 3 Reload. We got they announced a DLC pack that's coming. There's Aegis, is that Aegis?
Yeah,
Aegis. Okay, I was asking people for the show how to pronounce it. I had no idea. So there are three waves for this. The first one comes March 12th. There's a second one in May, and then the big one, the Abyss of Time, is coming in September. The one in March is just like music from past Persona games that are being you can listen to while you're like going through the dungeons. I've heard people pretty upset about this because this is like just something that was just in the games, and now it basically it's taken out and put into the DLC, and then the you have to buy all of the DLC. They're doing the Nintendo thing. This is kind of what I was asking during the live react. Is like, are they going to do the Nintendo thing? Yes, they are. Basically, you have to buy all of them to get to the good thing. It is $35, I believe, for the season, the whole thing. Oh, the May one is like costumes. So basically, it's like it's a little Nintendo thing. Hey, it's split up into two packs. The first thing is bullshit that you don't care about, or like should have been there at launch. And then you really buy it for the big thing. So
yep.
I don't know, but I did hear that this expansion, like in the previous game, was like 30 hours. So I don't know, $35 for, you know, 30 hours of content. If it's good, that seems pretty fair, honestly. So
yeah, it definitely seems similar to that of like what Nintendo did, say with Splatoon 3, where they had the initial expansion that had the hub world for one part of it, and then like. And then all of a sudden had the more interesting and the one you're going to actually buy it for, the side order, go into being the later half, like, would release, like, months later and stuff. But for this one, yeah, it definitely seems like one of those things where you should buy it pretty much close to, like, launch and just not even try to invest anything early. Even if it's for, like, music stuff or costume stuff, you don't really... It's not going to be that substantial in order to get. Plus, who knows, by then, you may actually go and save a bit of money for getting the expansion.
Yeah. Well, it is on Game Pass as well, so.
That's true, Tyler. So I know the game Persona 3 Reload is on, like, Game Pass and stuff, but for that initial expansion, is that also going to be on Game Pass?
I don't believe so, but you do get, a 10% discount buying a game. If you have Game Pass and you buy a game that's on Game Pass, and if you buy any additional content for it, you get a 10% discount. So, save a few bucks.
So, yeah, 10% off of like the 35. So that's probably going to be like, what, 50?
350.
350, roughly.
Hey, 350 is 350. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all the goddamn Loch Ness Monster wanted was 350. So, yeah. goddamn Loch Ness Monster. Anyways, the first Berserker, Kazan. We've seen this before. This is an action RPG. I believe it's like Game Awards. You have like, it's like you got a sword. Looks like you got like some puzzles you got to solve along the way. I don't know. It just looks like I don't want to say generic looking 3D action game because it's not. I think this game looks pretty great, honestly. But it's like a Souls-like game, and I probably won't play it or like it. So, so it's one of those things where it's like, even the games that like out of this, like, I'm like, oh man, that game looks pretty cool. I'm never gonna play it because I don't want to play it because I don't want to die a million times. That's kind of where I'm at with this whole thing. So, but it looks great. What about you, Gills?
I think the combat of it looks interesting, but at the same point, you know, it's kind of like that wait and see sort of thing with me.
Yeah, this big game. Like, I wish it was like this is one of the ones I wish I was going to Game Pass. Because I would definitely, I mean, it's like whoa long. Like, I gave that game a shot because of Game Pass and ended up loving it. So, next up, though, game that I am super excited for, Tales of Kizaru Zau. I believe Zau. They've said it. And I just don't know how. Tales of Kizaru, though, we're going to call it that. That was coming April 23rd. We already knew the date, though. People don't remember, this is the game that is known. The guy that voiced Bayek in Assassin's Creed Origins. He was at Game Awards earlier this or in the last year, and he talked about like his father passed away, and it's kind of a game that he was making in honor of him. But it is like it's a Metroidvania, based in like kind of like it's like more like an African setting, you know. But I don't know. I bought this game basically on site. Like, I got pre-ordered on Xbox because you get like a discount for buying it because I got the EA Play thing. But yeah, I think this game looks fantastic. It's just more, it's not a trailer, more like, hey, remind you it's coming soon. But this is a, you know, like already, it's already, it, it was a, not a day one buy, but a day it was announced this game is happening buy for me. So what about you, Gables?
I like the themes of it. I do like the initial gameplay of it. And that thing being a Metroidvania too, yeah, that's definitely going to intrigue me somewhat. But this is definitely going to be like a wait for a sale thing for me.
Yeah. Next up here, Frostpunk 2. It's kind of a weird one. So it got a release date of July 25th. But I believe that's the PC date. It's coming to game. It's coming to PC Game Pass on that day, but it's not coming to Xbox that day. But I don't know. This is like former like Blizzard people, I believe, that made this game. But I know people love the Frostpunk game, but it's basically like, hey, if you love this style of game, here's a super hard version of that game. So, I have no interest.
Yeah, those type of style of games I don't generally play, though, but I'm kind of interested in seeing how well commercially it's going to do.
Yeah. And then last but not least here, we ended with Kanetsu Gami, what is it called? Path of the Goddess. This is the Capcom game. This was revealed a year ago, maybe? I believe it was at the Xbox Showcase last June.
I believe so.
Yeah, so this is a very interesting art style. Kind of, I think a lot of people are like, oh, kind of got almost like a Akami vibes out of this one. This is actually on the Game Pass as well. It's coming later this year. And it kind of shows you kind of what this game is. Almost turned it like almost like a RTS game, or a lot of people were like comparing it to like a Pikmin game, where it's like you spend the day like getting everything, getting like setting up for this battle that happens at night, and you get like you basically, you know, like an RTS, but in a way, but like then at night, then the battle happens, and like basically find out, or tower defense game, actually probably a better way to put it, where you like you set up everything, and then like when the battle commences, and then like, you figure out if your shit works or not. I was like super like, I remember when this game was revealed last year, and I was like, oh, this game looks really cool. And then I saw how the game, what the game is, and I'm like, it's coming to Game Pass, I'll check it out, I guess. But like, I'm not super excited for this anymore. What about you?
The game in and of itself looks fantastic in my honest opinion. But not really too much one for like the tower defense style of stuff. But I am interested in seeing how things are going to tie up together for this game style, because I want it to be one of those great games and stuff that Capcom has been putting out like consistently. But I'm really interested in seeing like commercial reviews for it when it does come out.
Yeah. And like I said, it's Game Pass. The reviews are good. I'll probably dabble a little bit if there's nothing else around that time. But it's not like a game I'm like pumped for anymore. But let's move on here to kind of our last topic here. I mentioned it earlier. We're talking about some Warner Brothers again, Gables.
Okay.
They just continue to baffle me. So anyway, the Warner Brothers Discovery CEO and president of streaming and games, JB Perrette. I already hate this guy just based off the fact he is, has like a name, like an author, says the business of a AAA console releases can be volatile, which, you know, hey, for the first time ever, maybe I agree with Warner Brothers. It can be a little volatile. But anyway, it's a great business when you have a hit, like he's pointed out Hogwarts Legacy. It makes the year look amazing. Unfortunately, we also have a disappointment. We just released Suicide Squad this quarter, which was not as strong and just makes it very volatile. He explained that Warner Bros. Is looking at its four major franchises, Mortal Kombat, Game of Thrones, Harry Potter, and DC, and is hoping to expand the mobile and multi-platform free-to-play space. So basically, kind of in like what they were talking about here was they were planning on basically doubling down on the live service aspect.
That's so horrible. I get it from a business perspective, because you want to try to capitalize on like short-term sort of aspects, like say with a live service game, because they want people to invest more inside of the microtransactional like forefront and stuff for your games. But have they not been paying attention to any of the trends going on with like live service games here over the past now 5 years? The same thing is going to be the case in terms of a lot of these ones that are not like a major hit, like say a Fortnite or like an Apex Legends or whatever. If you don't hit a live service game right from the gate, it's going to die quick, and it's going to die a big fiery flame of death. kind of like what freaking Platinum Games put out for that one freaking live service game that barely even lasted about what, like what, a year?
I totally forgot the Square Enix game. Yeah, like yeah. Like 3 months after it came out, they had like one person playing online.
Exactly. So basically, it's like I just don't understand why they would double down entirely. I mean, I understand maybe some aspects of it, but still, yeah, the four strongest pillars of franchises they have are DC, are Game of Thrones, are like Mortal Kombat, or like Harry Potter stuff, but this is not the way you're gonna go upon it to do this. I mean, in the short term, I get it. The long term, this is horrible marketing strategy.
Yeah.
I just don't get it, because they had opportunity to do this, say, with another DC game, but yet they went with Suicide Squad, did a whole bunch of development stuff. That was a live service game, but because of all the backlash of that shit, they had to take out a lot of those type of elements with it, and the game still was ended up being a horrible mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't
understand how these people continue to fail up. You look at like these people, like Discovery was in the toilet that David Zaslav was running. Yep. Warner Brothers has been in the toilet since the Time Warner AOL merger in 2001. And it's merged like 4 or 5 times now in the last 20 years. And every time it just gets worse and worse. I don't understand how you can be like, oh, we're in a rough spot. We better merge with the other company that's in a bad spot, and that will be good. And, oh, no, we're not doing good. But then also the people that did a bad job, we're going to put them in place now of more shit that they don't understand. And it's going to get better?
They're just basically just fusing with a whole bunch of different other companies to try to pay off some form of debt. And then when that doesn't work, they just do it again. Yeah. It feels like it's a never-ending process for WB.
Yeah, like they brought in like $4 billion of debt. And it's like the debt isn't getting smaller. Actually, like HBO is like in a worse spot now. When like HBO was like printing money for them, was making like $3-4 billion a year. Now that's barely breaking even. How do you fuck up one of the biggest IPs out there in entertainment? They figured out a way. I don't get it. It's like they just continue to keep learning the wrong lessons. It's like almost like, hey, instead of just like, hey, Hogwarts Legacy was a huge success, what if we take these IPs that we've like done basically nothing with, that there's a huge fan base for, that would love to like have something with, make a good game out of it. It's like an 85 on Metacritic. It was the best-selling game of last year. It's like, people will buy your game if you do a good job with these established IPs. Look at fucking Star Wars Jedi games. Like, that is like the one thing holding my Star Wars fandom together at this point, is those games. Those games are fantastic. People bought the shit out of them because it's a great thing and an IP that has, quite frankly, not been doing great for a long time now. This whole century, basically. But Hogwarts, you know, Harry Potter is a whole different thing where there's been nothing since really the movies. And like those ended in like late 2000s, maybe early 2010. And like, hey, there's a starving fan base for it. You know, we got multiple generations that we can create a whole new generation of fans. Put this game out, was a very good game. The highest selling game of the year. And it's almost like, instead of just like, hey man, like we just do that. We make a, obviously making games isn't easy. I'm not saying, oh, we just make a good game. But like we have this Avalanche Studios made a great game. It's almost like instead of like, but imagine like, hey, this game is sold a lot and people really like it. It's like, instead to them though, it's like, but what if we like made a live service game? Like, it's all like, to me, that's the way I look at it. Like, I have a feeling we're going to get a Hogwarts Legacy too, but they're going to fuck it up. The studio is going to fuck it because not the studio. The company is going to fuck it up because probably what's going to end up happening, it's going to be like the fucking, there was the Shadow of Mordor game. We have the sequel, Shadow of War. And they just filled it full of it's a single player game. And they just filled it with bullshit microtransactions that just killed that game. And like, yep. The game was fucked from the start because of that. And I have a feeling that's what's going to happen. Look at Mortal Kombat. Like, those games are, like, really well done. But, like, the audience that, like, I buy it, I play through the story, I'm done with it. Like, I can move on. But the hardcore audience, you keep pissing off because every single one is just full of, like, bullshit microtransactions. Like, they're charging $15 for fucking, what's the fucking, fatalities?
Peacemaker?
Yeah, like, they're having, like, seasonal fatalities that they're charging $15 for. It's like, it's just like, obviously, like, hey, like, people, I'm willing to spend more money if I keep playing this game for long periods of time. I'm fine with that. But there comes a point, though, where it's like, it's just like insulting to your most hardcore fan base.
True.
It's just like, what the fuck are we? And then this week they closed down Rooster Teeth. 21 years. They just celebrated 21 years. 150 people laid off from there. Laying them all off. That's awful. Obviously, like, Red versus Blue, Ruby, and all that. Like,
Just
sucks for those people, and just sucks for that. You know, it's like, and they're like trying to sell off pieces of it to other people, which just sucks because it's like, you know, people, like, if Rooster Teeth comes back as something else, it's just not gonna. It's just gonna be parts of something instead of like what it was. And then they told a bunch of indie developers that made Adult Swim games for them, or they made games under Adult Swim, like Adult Swim's published, that they're shutting down over 60 games.
Wow.
And some of these games, people don't know, they haven't said yet whether or not people that bought these games will still be able to play them.
That's scary to think about.
Yeah. So for no reason, like, because like it costs nothing to keep these games running, and they're just gonna get rid of them for no reason. And like these developers that made it are like asking them, like, hey, like, literally one of the creators of one of the games, like, said, like, you can on Steam, you can transfer the ownership from one person to another with three clicks of a button, and they won't do it.
That's interesting.
This is the company that, when, instead of like apparently, like, I think it was like Netflix reportedly offered them, I think it was like $50 or $60 million for that Acme, that Looney Tunes movie. Acme versus the World, whatever it's called. I can't remember what it's called. It's got like John Cena. Apparently it's like fantastic. People have seen it. It's completely done. Everything's done with it. One of the streamers offered him like $50, $60 million for it. Instead, they're deleting it forever to get a $30 million tax break.
That does not make any fucking sense to me whatsoever. It just sounds like terrible management all the way around in WB.
Pettiness. Almost like pettiness. Like, we'd rather like shut this down than actually like and just get a small tax break, instead of like almost like they don't want to release it because they're embarrassed because this movie's gonna be good.
And it's almost like they are purposely trying to tank Warner Brothers as it is, to try to do some tax breaks.
I don't understand what they're like. Are they trying to get fired so they can get like their golden parachute and go off and live the rest of their life?
That may be the case, Tyler. I mean, you don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of greedy, rich corporate people that do just that.
Yeah, they build everything.
And so, like, that would not surprise me if that's the case with WB.
Yeah, like, well, I talked about last week, like, David Zaslav, like, that company lost a ton of money last quarter, but he hit a certain trigger in his contract where he's going to get a $39 million bonus, even though, like, they're laying off all these people, and they're shutting down all these games forever. It's like, how much is it going to cost him to have somebody go and transfer ownership of the 60 games? Like,
if I
had access to it, I could probably knock it out in a couple hours, you know, like, hey, contact people, get done. Give me $200. I'll do it for you right now. Give me the logins and $200. I'll go and transfer the access for you. I'm offering to do it for you, Warner Brothers. I'll do it. It's insane. It's insanity. I don't know how these people continue to allow to run, quite frankly, one of the biggest corporations in the United States, one in the world, and some of the most precious IP out there. It baffles me of why this is allowed. It almost feels like it should be legal in certain points. But let's move on, Gables. We got some other news this week. I didn't want to put this this probably wasn't one of the bigger news of the week, but I didn't want to put it into the body of the show, because by the time this comes out, we might already know the answer. Mario Day is tomorrow. Apparently, we might get some Mario news on potentially Luigi's Mansion 2 and Thousand Year Door on Sunday. Oh. So this podcast goes up Sunday morning, so I don't want to like make a big topic because by the time it comes out, it might be a moot point. But I don't know. What do you think the odds are we get some actual, like, whether it's a trailer or a release date? What are you thinking?
What I'm thinking, maybe like a trailer of some form, you know, for either Luigi's Mansion or for Paper Mario. But other than that, though, it could also be a, like, just a celebration trailer of, oh, hey, like, Mario Day, do this and do that, you know, without anything really substantial either. I mean, this is Nintendo we're talking about. I mean,
yeah,
because we know what's sure about Nintendo is nothing is for sure.
Yeah, yeah. They can make the hard look easy and the easy look hard. So
exactly. So it's the best bet that we can probably hope for is probably like some sort of like update trailers and stuff for those games coming out this year.
Yeah. And they did. We had a Mario Kart Lego thing announced today. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So next up, apparently there is a game in the Titanfall universe in development right now. So I will try to keep my hope to a minimum because I don't want to make my heart broken again for what it could be or probably eventually get canceled. Other news here, Ghost of Tsushima is coming to PC on May 16th. It sounds like, I believe, Goodfeel or Feel Good. I can't remember the name. The developers of the Yoshi games like Woolly World and Crafted World. And then they did like the Kirby Epic Yarn. Mm-hmm. It sounds like, according to the demo, that they're the ones making that Princess Peach game. So, Nintendo refuses to acknowledge it until the game. They said when you can find out when you see the credits. Just why do they keep doing this? Like, just fucking tell us who's making the goddamn game.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all, Tyler. I mean, we already know from looking at the gameplay and also from someone's experience in the demo already that this is exactly the case, that we know exactly which developer is going behind this. So keep it a secret doesn't make sense.
I literally said that at the announcement direct, when they the reveal trailer for this last year. I'm like, this looks like the Yoshi's Woolly World team. It's got their hand, like their fingerprints all over it. So, other news here, Multiverse says we'll be getting some news on Monday, Gables.
Oh, what do you know? Go from WB news to more WB news right here with Multiverses.
Didn't even correlate those things together. You're right, that is a WB thing. Maybe they're going to announce they're just closing it forever.
Oh my God.
So funny. Remember
they're just going to release a trailer or something with all these microtransactions.
Yeah, even though the game was full of microtransactions and they refused to give refunds. And they just shut it down for a year. Other news, Stellar Blade, a demo came out for like 40 minutes on the PlayStation Store, but then was taken back off the store. So, so apparently there's going to be a demo here soon. So I might check that out eventually. And then last but not least here, sadly, Deviation Games closed. They opened in 2020. If you don't know who they are, it's because they never actually got a chance to release a game. They were working with PlayStation, putting out a game for them. This is like former like Call of Duty people. And they, there's like a couple hundred people there. They got laid off because PlayStation pulled the contract. So,
wow.
Yeah. Pretty shitty. So they work on a game with them for like 3 years now or so. And that sucks. It's pretty awful. I'm wondering if there was like a sci-fi shooter game that had some screenshots leaked last year, maybe. Early last year, maybe late 2022. I'm wondering if that's the game because I don't know because we know it's a PlayStation game. We just didn't know who was making it. And I have a feeling that we'll never actually see that game. But I'm wondering if that was them that was making it. But Gables, I already talked about what I was playing this week. Why don't you tell me what you've been playing, buddy?
I've been playing a plethora of games this past week.
All right.
I finished Arzette. I actually went and beat it to start off the week. This game is pretty damn good, in my honest opinion.
Awesome.
I would actually rate this game like a solid like 7.5 or so out of 10. I think that if this game were to have released way back when for the Philips CDI, that this would probably be one of the crowning jewels of that system and not like, say, a pile of shit.
What if instead of PlayStation, we got it with Philips CDI was just like, you know, was the thing that took over.
Oh God. Oh God, man, that would be a whole different type of can of worms to open. But no, man, I really did enjoy my time playing through RZ, like going through the bunch of the different sets and stuff. I just basically went through a whole bunch of the levels over and over and over again just to try to collect certain collectibles. But I was finishing up certain side quests. I did like how like outlandish a lot of the characters were. But I think one of the most hilarious things that I did encounter while playing this game was the side quest for the one bartender inside of the main hub and stuff that is a moose, right? There's a bartender moose and stuff that used to be a blacksmith, but you have to do a side mission in order to try to get a lot of the supplies to could essentially make give like the best sword in of itself. So I collected all these other things for various side missions, and I did have all of what he was asking for just nonchalantly. So I go over and turn it into him, right? And it turns into this cutscene and stuff towards, oh, okay, thanks. I'm gonna start making this sword right now. And literally, it's him like just pounding upon the freaking sword, right? And like basically just like just grunting, like, ugh, like, ugh. And Tyler, it doesn't go on for like 30 seconds. It actually went on for like 3 full minutes. And it's a non-skippable cutscene.
That's hot. That's hot.
And what's hilarious about it, dude, it's like, okay, now I'm done.
Story of my life.
Oh my God. I think that just the realization that it's like it was just the same thing, just dude, okay, it's like this is going on for a lot longer. Can I actually fast forward this? Like, oh no, I can't. Yeah, I have to watch this. But overall, I've completed like about, I want to say 70-something percent of the game. I got most collectibles. I didn't go back to get a lot of the various coins or the various like other stuff that was hidden in there. There were a lot of hidden like items inside of each level. They really prompt you to go back to these older levels in order to use new abilities, like new like not just the new abilities though, but try to find the different power-ups to increase your health or increase like some bit of like your space that you can carry for like your wallet or for certain other weapons too. There was one item I got towards the end of the game that could have helped me out towards some of the other portions, like the middle portion of it. There's an item where you can actually have like an invisibility cloak, and I'm thinking to myself, well, if not for the fact I just unlocked the final level right here, that could have really been freaking
Could
useful towards the middle portion of the
use
game when
that
I
2 hours
was struggling to
ago.
go through. I needed this like about 2 hours ago. But yeah, the boss battles were pretty funny and memorable. I mean, the one with the horse that was just basically doing horse puns with RZ pretty much laughing at him, that one's was one of my favorites. But you had this sort of like Wall Street inspired boss that's almost similar to that of like oh my God, the Wolf of Wall Street and stuff from that old obscure like 80s movie and stuff. And basically
Who's
he's
like
just
5 years
dodging
old?
you. Dude, it's so weird because some of the references of this stuff is basically from like say the 80s.
Gotcha. Okay.
But that was the closest kind of comparison I can get because it was sort of similar to that style. But Wolf of Wall Street, yeah, that movie, Gordon Gekko, that type of shit. But no, the whole boss battle resolves around you trying to like fight him, right? But he's just trying to dodge like your type of attacks and stuff. And he doesn't really attack himself. He just uses a bunch of his minions to try to attack you for him. But after going through the initial boss battles, the final battle in of itself for like RZ, it isn't so much that you're actually battling him directly. It's you having to dodge like a whole bunch of like various like obstacles and stuff in order to get to him fast enough so that way you can just execute like with just one hit with all your power up items. But the game itself was fine for the amount of like length and stuff. There was plenty of side quests I did complete. There's still others that I still need to complete. But oh my gosh. This ended up being like about a 4 to maybe 5 hour game max.
Perfect.
It did not stay its welcome. It definitely had a lot of stuff that I thought was pretty fun about it. But they are also saying that it also could be leading to another game in the future. So that's what they were kind of alluding to while
All right.
playing through the game. That, oh yeah, RZ will be back. But yeah, man, I thought this game was really fun for initially what I thought it was gonna be. Like the first impression of it, I was like, oh, okay, this looks kind of like an average sort of like platformer. It's not gonna have much merit to it or really much layers to it. I ended up surprisingly enjoying this a lot more than I thought I would. And not just because of a meme sense, because I kind of like the old YouTube poops with all the freaking one like Legend of Zelda CDI games and stuff, the Hotel Mario and stuff, but it's because it's a comparable platformer. The levels themselves, I mean, they're okay, but yet the characters definitely make up for a lot of the repetitions and stuff you have to go and do in order to accomplish either side missions or getting specific weapons or magic stuff to combine with other weapons and whatever. But yeah, that's a good solid like 7.5 for me. I'm really glad that we had a chance to we really had a chance to just like kind of experience this sort of game really. But also it's like a big thanks for like Limited Games for actually providing the code and stuff
Yeah.
to us and stuff. That's awesome and stuff. But let's see. Other than that, though, I really got into Splatoon 3 Side Order. I started off playing Side Order. It's obviously a roguelike mode in the world of Splatoon 3. It feels like its own separate standalone game because of how much content that is put inside and how much emphasis you have to go through and repeat these different levels. Based upon whatever types of power-ups or whatever you can collect these mem bucks along the way for your run, and then use that for your permanent upgrades. I spent like about close to 10 hours on this. And let me tell you something. When I eventually got to my perfect run, it came out of nowhere. It really did came out of nowhere. I was not nearly as powerful as I could have been going into that final stretch. But I didn't unlock anything in terms of like say break rooms for like the floor like 15 or 20 or 25 or anything like that. No, I basically had invested a lot in my attack, all except for like maybe one for my defense. I uploaded like a whole bunch of things for like the Pearl drone and stuff, but I maximized the entirety of the mem bucks that I would earn for each run, and that really did help things out. I didn't max everything out like I thought I was going to when I thought I was going to go through this game initially. But let me tell you something. It was very much worthwhile to go all the way through, like, Side Order, going through the creative boss battles that you would encounter every, like, fifth and tenth floor. But going on to floor 30, where I had been chipping away at things for, like, a good solid week and a half. I thought I was gonna die or something within the first, within that initial thing, because that's one of the things that you keep in the back of your head when you're doing these type of runs, and especially inside of a roguelike game, is if you get to the final battle and you die and you have to go all the way back through that thing again, that is devastating. But I did it all in the first try, with the final battle, and with everything else coming afterwards. This was such a great experience. I really did enjoy this. In some ways, this felt better than some of the main game stuff for Splatoon 3. And you know what? When Splatoon 3 came out, I really loved the game in and of itself because of the different levels, the different types of weapons you would experience. This Side Order mode, I really wish they could just release a separate game to where it's just nothing but just the roguelike stuff. Because I don't mind if like there's multiplayer elements. I mean, people could have their multiplayer Splatoon game or have their own separate like Splatoon game and stuff for the wacky sort of obstacle courses and stuff that they're at. But these sets of missions to where you have to maybe defeat a whole bunch of like enemies in a specific time frame or something, or if you have to like pretty much play turf war or something like that, protecting this one spot for like a good solid 60 seconds and stuff. These little mini games that maybe would take you a couple of minutes to complete at most, this made it much more enjoyable because at that point, because I've been playing them over and over again, I kept completing them like about like 20 or 30 seconds and then going on to the next thing, earning a whole bunch of mem bucks, earning a whole bunch of things for my runs, and then just doing all sorts of fun stuff afterwards. Once I initially died at the end of a run, investing a whole bunch into permanent stat upgrades or hacks as they are inside of this game. My God, yeah, if you're going to be playing Splatoon 3 or you're thinking about maybe picking it up, the expansion is worth it. That side order is worth it. I kind of wish Nintendo would have just did that as an individual standalone game itself, because I could see myself paying like about $20 or $30 just for that mode itself. But the other games I've been playing this week, like I mentioned before at the beginning of the podcast, I got three Dreamcast games in: Spider-Man, Machina X, and Jet Grind Radio. I played about an hour of Machina X. That game is weird, dude. I mean, it's not like a stereotypical, like, say, JRPG stuff. This is like a hack and slash. This is like an Atlus sort of like weird sort of like hack and slash, to where the main concept of this is like, it's basically kind of like a Deus Ex sort of Machina sort of like thing, to where there's like an artificial being or something like that that can inhabit, like brainjack people's minds and stuff. And so basically you're just using like different people and stuff like that, in order to use like their different weapons and different things and stuff. And you're going through like these set levels, to where there's a distinct like linear path beginning to end, right? But you have all these enemies to dodge and try to do all this other stuff. The gameplay is smooth. I mean, the hack and slash and the sword style and stuff, it's more reminding me of it kind of reminds me sort of like Mirror's Edge, sort of, only no parkour stuff. It's just mostly based upon like traveling to and from like one set piece to another set piece, and then just completing that level. Currently, I'm on like level 3, I want to say. Like, I started off at a laboratory in level 1. Level 2 was like an airplane that I had to go and like complete that. Now that I think about it, I'm actually on level 4, because the third one was something in to do to being in the country of Russia or something like that, on my way to going to like somewhere else in order to try to get to the next major plot point of this. But the plot of Machina X and stuff, it's pretty much like a good versus evil sort of style and stuff, to where you have a like an evil corporation or some, or evil set of beings or some, that want to use like Machin, this sentient being or something like that, for the destruction of Earth. Whereas you have another group that wants to use it to just try to save humanity and stuff. Agreed that the story is out there, but once you start playing this game, and once you start like experiencing a lot of the combat stuff, that's pretty much all that I pretty much like about this so far, is like the smooth combat, just the weird enemies, the stuff that sort. It kind of has that feeling where it could be like a 5 or 10 hour game, now that I think about it. But Jet Grind Radio, I played a little bit of that. That's a little bit more harder for me to get into, because the momentum base, I'm so used to, like, I'm so used to playing like these type of like action games, these action kind of like extreme kind of sports sort of games, with like using buttons for like certain tricks in combination with the analog stick. This is more like a motion of like just grinding rails and walls and then going into certain areas in order to collect a whole bunch of spray cans, spray paint, like a tag, a whole bunch of things before the time limit goes, while avoiding a whole bunch of these cops or something that just want to try to arrest you because of the vandalism and stuff, or spray painting all the walls and stuff. But let me tell you something, the music is on point with this game. It's a fantastic soundtrack, because basically, even inside the character select screen, for like when you have to select between the three characters, like Beat, Gum, and Tab, those are the names of the characters, right? Beat is the initial main character, then the girl that you come across and stuff while playing through the story mode, her name is Gum. She's more of like, she has a higher stat instead of like spray painting and stuff, like graffiti stuff, quicker than some of the other characters. And then Tab is like the dude is sort of like an all around, it's sort of like a more of like a more all around sort of character, I think. But I could just hear the music for like the select screen going in my head right now because it's so catchy. It's like a could have like something similar like that, dude. But I know, just me just randomly beatboxing and doing that shit, you know, that's just something I wasn't anticipating, but it happened.
I just have Gables beatboxing in my ear at 1 in the morning, so it's just I'm a little broke my brain.
But I went to the first stage. The second stage, I'm still kind of like getting adjusted to a lot of the control stuff, so it's a work in progress. But the game I made the significant most like I the significant most progress into is playing Spider-Man, because I played through the 64 version like all those years ago, and I think like is even as soon as like 3 or 4 years ago I played through the 64 version again, and dude, it's almost night and day playing this version for the Dreamcast, because there's hardly any compromises or compression issues that are with this game. But if this is one of those platform, these action platformer sort of games, to where the camera sticks behind you when you move a character. So when you move Spider-Man in a certain direction, the camera just immediately swings behind him. So there will be moments where I'm doing combat stuff, and all of a sudden I get hit from behind. And I didn't even know where the hell the damn thing came from. Or if I'm in like the sewer in some of those sewer missions inside this game, and all of a sudden Lizard Man's like abomination, like creations or something, just spit a whole bunch of acid or something like that in the back of my head. I'm like, what the f did that come from? The combat itself, it's all right. It's not as snappy as, say, like with what the modern Spider-Man games are. But it's still fun. It's still campy as hell, because it starts out where it's like Peter Parker gets kind of like Peter Parker and like Eddie Brock or some are like taking pictures of like Dr. Octopus's like latest invention, right? And all of a sudden you see someone crashes a show, right? It's someone pretending to be Spider-Man, you know? And he's like, well, last time I checked, I was Spider-Man. It's like, and what's more hilarious about that is like, this is like set into like six different levels, right? Like six different levels, but they have their each individual like subsection of levels and stuff to complete for that particular level. At this point, I'm already at level 5. I still have like about 7 or 8 different types of story missions. I know I'm more than halfway through. I faced off against Venom like twice. I faced off against Rhino. The boss battle for Rhino is really hilarious, because it's just basically kind of like what you would think. You lure Rhino into trying to charge into you, right? But you jump out of the way at just the right moment, and he electrocutes himself because he crashes into an electric, like, pole. Right? So he just starts getting, like, freaking electrocuted and shit. And so you do that a whole bunch of times until you eventually beat him. But for Venom, it's much more tricky, especially when you get to the second boss battle underneath the sewer. He'll disappear, but yeah, there's like 4 different points to where he'll try to like trigger these like switches, right? That'll start filling water down in a chasm below where like Peter Parker's wife and stuff is like Mary Jane is like literally at like hanging from a thread, and the tank is like filling, so you have to stop her from drowning and stuff by beating Venom. The most hilarious part is after that battle ends, and like Spider-Man basically convinces Venom's like, hey, this wasn't me. I was there with you. Don't you remember this? And like, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, Parker. That's my bad. He's like, my bad? My bad? I'm gonna freaking kill you. Oh, gosh. The cutscenes. There's some campy cutscenes, though, but just the banter between Spider-Man and villain, like just Spider-Man and Venom and stuff, that whole conversation between those two. These are basically the same voice actors as Spider-Man the Animated Series.
Oh, that's cool.
All exception for Mary Jane, who is played by Jennifer Hale,
Nice.
Jennifer Hale, one of the more established voice actresses in the
Yeah.
world of
Fem
video
Shep.
games. Yeah, absolutely. She voiced the female Commander Shepard in that series for Mass Effect. But oh dude, it's such a blast going through this game. I'm having so much fun because this is like the first time where I've played it to where I could actually see what they were trying to portray, and sort of like the cutscenes, or not having so much like issues in terms of like sound cutting out and stuff, like the 64 version did, or some of the processing power not being as good and stuff. The visual models look pretty good, look pretty crisp. You know, I don't have any arguments or anything like to really deter it, other than hey, it's a game from 2001. There's definitely going to be some compromises because it's not going to be as fluid as say a modern 2024 game. But oh gosh, with everything else being said and done, that's pretty much what I've been playing this week.
Right. Very cool, Gables. I think that's gonna wrap it up this week. If you guys like all that, please like, follow, subscribe, check us out everywhere. Like I said, there's a description down below. Like, hit the 5 stars, leave a comment, leave a review, tell your friends. Check us out everywhere, podcast services, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all that. But Gables?
Yeah.
How'd that theme song go again? Bye, guys.
See ya.
It's a new theme song. I'm going to cut that out.